Dear brothers and sisters, Happy New Year to all of you. And my greetings extend to those who are worshiping from your home, from the computer. Praise the Lord for guiding us into the first Sunday of the new year with new hope. And I believe that God, in the new year, will gather us together to worship God with joy and with new hope. So may the Lord bless us and strengthen our faith as we face, as we step into the new year. Now this year, we believe that God will bring about revival to our church because our theme for this year is wholeheartedly for the Lord, love one another. And that is according to Matthew chapter 22. So I'm sure you are all very familiar with Matthew chapter 22. The two great commandments. So, but how then are we going to achieve the two commandments? Let's take a first point. The first thing is to love the Lord with all your heart. That is how we can wholeheartedly serve our Lord. Because this is the first commandment of the Bible. That all the children of God should love Him wholeheartedly. With the entire body, the entire mind. As Paul once said, when we first believe, we can only feed on spiritual milk when we were spiritual babies. But as we grow up spiritually, we begin to feed on solid food. When we are spiritually strong, only then will we be able to accomplish the mission God has laid upon us. What that means is our spiritual life will eventually grow up stronger. And that, as that happens, the more we will be able to understand the will of God. And then we will also be blessed with the strength and the energy to accomplish what God has prepared as a mission for each one of us. I remember when we first believed, and that included myself. Mostly when we pray before the Lord, our prayer requests are rather self-centered, seeking after our own good, always about myself. Of course, we can understand that. That's quite common. But as we mature spiritually, our prayer becomes Christ-centered. We care for the things of His kingdom. In His vision becomes ours. And therefore, we broaden our view. We spread our wings like that of eagles. Kingdom vision becomes our mission. As we do that, we begin to understand the will of God. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, it begins by saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we discover the way Jesus wants us to pray. The main objective of the Lord's Prayer is always, the focus is on the Lord, on God Himself. That is one thing I learned. Jesus Christ taught us to pray. The way He prayed is to prioritize His kingdom and His holiness. Only then will we focus on ourselves. Yeah, because when we set our prayer on His kingdom and His holiness, He will bless the rest of our lives. The emphasis is on equipping ourselves to such an extent that we willingly offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We totally give of our body, our heart, and our soul into the hands of the Lord, asking Him to use us for His ministry. The emphasis here is on loving the Lord. All these things is happening because we love our Lord. then you will possess the conviction and the belief that will push you, push yourself forward into serving the Lord wholeheartedly. So our entire life is, if our life is always self-centered, whether we are thinking, whether in our prayer, that is not right. It is important that we have Christ-centered, God-centered in our life. If you look at throughout history, we have seen many believers who zealously serve the Lord because they have that burning desire for Him. That zealousness in their hearts pushed them forward to serve God. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to do likewise? In the year 2022, let's begin. You got to first love God. Now, if you love the Lord first with all your heart, only then will you be able to develop that motivation. In that case, you will be willing to live for the Lord. So number one, it is to first love the Lord with all my heart. How do we wholeheartedly serve the Lord? Number two, you must keep yourself holy. Now let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Verse 16 says, let's take a look. Now verse 16 tells us, "For it is written, be holy, because I am holy." Now as God's children, we must live a life of holiness before God. For God is a holy God. He is the God that is extremely holy. Unfortunately, the secular worldview of today has seriously corrupted the mind of a lot of people, including the mind of Christians. Promiscuity is rampant nowadays. Now, how do you feel if you see a couple serving in church ministry, but they are not married yet? They are living together. How do you think? How will the church answer to God who is so holy? Now to stress the example a little further, if that couple separates and fall for another person, then begin to live together with that person, do you think it is pleasing to God? Of course not. God is not going to be very pleased with us at all. If Christians live such a lifestyle, what difference is there between us and the rest of the world? If a man and woman truly fall in love with one another, then why don't they just get married? In fact, any God-fearing person must obey the Lord's command to be holy. So whether he or she must chastise themselves until the day they tie the knot. If you behave as such, God will bless you. The Bible repeatedly mentions, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." God says that. Those anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Therefore, the word of God is for our own good. He wants to be obedient, not for God's goodness, but for our own good. May your marriage and family be filled with His wonderful blessings. For this reason, we must live our life within the realm of His holiness, especially in the context of human relationship between man and a woman. Parents, you must teach your children about holiness so that it will pass down from generation to generation. This is your very important mission. Because the society nowadays is getting from bad to worse. So everybody is now being so self-centered. Just imagine if your unmarried daughter would get pregnant. Now, how would you feel? I'm sure the parents would feel terrible. What must we do? Should my daughter give birth to this child or not? The society we live in today has a very incorrect idea. They always think, as long as I like it, who cares what will happen tomorrow? Nobody nowadays cares about their future. They only care about what they like themselves. That is called instant gratification. Now, instant gratification of my desire is looked upon as more important than anything. Sorry to say, such ideology completely corrupts our society. This is not a marriage that God will bless. Therefore, all Christians must remain virtuous because our God is holy. If you wish for blissful marriage, seriously pray about it. Obey God's word, and then you'll be respectful of your fiancé's decision about her chastity until the night of her marriage. How do we be wholeheartedly for the Lord? You must hold on firmly to His teachings. The nearer we are to the end time, the more we will hear about pseudo-gospel messages. Let me tell you about something about this hyper-grace movement. This movement is called hyper-grace movement. And simply put, they are not keen on obeying the teachings on the Ten Commandments. Take a look at the PowerPoint. Well, they claim that they argue that since we are living in this dispensation of grace, therefore, we no longer need to repent of our sins because we all are in under the grace of Jesus Christ. So the grace of Jesus is sufficient to cover all our sins. Now, this kind of teaching is absolutely dangerous and is terribly wrong. They are actually trying to use the grace of the Lord to indulge themselves. Let's take a look at this diagram. It will clarify the confusion between hyper-grace and biblical theology. The first one. Let's take a look at the previous PowerPoint. So because when they deny the law of Moses and they propagate the prosperity gospel, they refuse to believe the revelations found in the Old Testament. This is a very problematic movement. No wonder its followers are labeled as heretics by scholars of the mainstream American evangelical churches. And the following diagram shows how hyper-grace misled its followers in 9 different areas. Let's take a look at the one on the left. Number one, they teach that God wants all believers to be prosperous. Number two, they need not repent of their sins. Number three, since they are already holy, they don't need to seek after holiness. Number four, they should not experience sufferings. And number five, they claim that repentance is merely a change of heart. Brothers and sisters, what do you think? It is something that we cannot think. God has already prepared everything for them so they don't need to fear punishment. They say number seven, believers have received grace so they don't have to obey the law. They are in contempt of the Old Testament, and finally, they reject teachings of the law. This, yet more, what do you think? To me, it is totally unacceptable. Yet more and more churches are following this hyper-grace movement. Who doesn't like God's blessings? Everybody likes the blessing that no matter what wrong they committed, they still remain in Jesus Christ, because God does not mete out punishment. Well, to put it bluntly, it is misusing God's grace to indulge in their lustful desires. This must not be permitted. Therefore, all evangelical churches must make a stand. We must point out the mistakes of hyper grace movement, because we need to stand firm on the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us remain faithful to the truth of Jesus' teaching. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. And 17 says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Isn't it clear how Jesus put it? He came not to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. So who says that Christians do not have to obey the Ten Commandments? The first commandment says we must not worship other gods. So we have to abide by that. We have to follow and obey this very first commandment, not to worship the idols. Then why do hyper-grace preachers tell their followers not to obey Old Testament laws, especially the Ten Commandments? As we approach the end time, more and more false teachers will appear with their false teachings. Therefore, we must be able to tell the difference from the teachings of the Bible and those false teachings by the false prophets. So number four, we need to be aware of the current crisis happening around us in the world. We agree that natural disasters are happening more often nowadays. These are the visible dangers that we can see with our eyes. But there exist some spiritual battles. These are the things that very subtle, and we cannot see with our eyes. Let me share with you the background of Meta. Formerly is Facebook. Well, Meta actually formerly was known as Facebook, but now, for some unknown reason, its founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, decided to change his company's name from Facebook to Meta. Simply put, he has created a virtual reality platform where somebody can do anything that pleases themselves. Now, this virtual reality has presented itself as an online temptation for our youth. Once a person enters into such a virtual world, he can indulge himself in all forms of unreal desires. In that environment, one will be able to do anything which he cannot do in the real world. But you can do that in this virtual world. For example, this virtual reality can change our mind. It can allow us to, what we design in our mind, you can make it and work it out. For example, if you wish to live the life of an ancient Chinese ruler, you can do that in the virtual world. A ruler with a harem of plenty of concubines, and every day, you indulge yourself in drunken orgies. Then, in the virtual world, you can do all of those things, like it or not, believe it or not. Well, of course, when the emperor wants to do anything, he can use money to spend his money to get a lot of queens and concubines. With the money that the emperor has, he can do anything he wants. But don't forget, there is a price to pay for these virtual experiences. Look at the headline in today's news. Recently, I saw this news in the headlines. There has been a surge in the news about the metaverse, to a point that even billionaire tycoon like Lei Ka Shing of Hong Kong invested into this virtual platform. So he also invested millions of dollars into this virtual reality platform. But let's take a pause. Let's think, what are the benefits of living in such a virtual reality world? For those who indulge in such a surreal world, how will they face up to the daily pressure of real life? Because they don't live in the real life at all. They live in this virtual lifestyle. Therefore, there's no way they can face the real world when they come back into the real world. It is believed that millions will be attracted into this virtual reality. Where will this lead to? Christians of today, you who possess wisdom from above, you must grasp the moment of our time. You must catch the fallacy of Satan. Only then will we be able to help our children to resist that kind of temptations. All these are temptations by Satan to mislead and misguide us. Therefore, let's fall into the trappings of the devil. There are four aspects of living wholeheartedly for our Lord. There are four points. First, number one, love the Lord with all your heart. Number two, keep yourself holy. Number three, hold fast to his teachings. And number four, be aware of the crisis of the world. Next, I'm going to work on how to love one another. Now, our Lord Jesus wants us to love one another because others will recognize us as his disciples. Yes, Jesus wants us to love others as ourselves. This is his next second commandment. Therefore, we must work on it. We must practice it all the time. So let's begin within our family. We must be tolerant and respectful of one another. And it should be the same when we are not at our big family and when we are in our big family, the church. Now, recently I have taken a vacation to a few places, and I learned while going out on the vacation. And well, as age is catching up, sometimes I also ponder a lot. But yet, I believe that even though I may be getting older, yet I need to follow and get up to the current advances in technologies in this world. So from Christmas until the end of the year, so there were the places where I visited, I see a lot of people, thousands of people. And I was in the city of Las Vegas. I've been to places. I went to one of the casinos to see what's going on in there. Unfortunately, I see a lot of people who indulge in gambling, and the whole place was filled with cigarette fumes because they allow people to smoke inside those environments. So inside the casino, I see a lot of sinful things is happening. But what I want to point out is, in God's kingdom, it's important that we have to come together as a family to share with one another, to learn how to love one another. So let's start with our family. So I took my family to have some fun, not in the casinos, but in the restaurant and some place of interest. And we began to learn how to love one another more. I thank God for this opportunity, that we can have this family, time together with my family. The main point I'm trying to explain is, well, each of us have small issues in our life. Now, so let's not focus on the shortcomings of one another. Instead, we must look at their positive side. Did we not pray for the Lord's love to nourish our hearts? If they have some shortcomings, it is okay. With the love of Christ, let us embrace them. We must look at their positive side. Only then will we be able to have strength to love the unlovable. Brothers and sisters, let us not forget, only when the love of Christ fills us, then are we able to love those that we are supposed to love, those that are unlovable. I always remind myself, in the past, I was just as unlovable as those people that we see in the streets. So let us learn to love them with the love of God, because it was God who accepted us to the extent He died on the cross for us. If we are able to do that and to embrace their shortcomings and their weaknesses, then our attitude will change. It will make us easier to love them. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to try to work on that? Spend the next week, in the following weeks, try to change the attitude. Do not look at the shortcomings of others. When others are weak, we must quickly come to their assistance to help them stand up again. Especially children, if the children are misbehaving, we can always encourage them. Say some good words to encourage them so that they will stand up again, so that they will not feel bad. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to do that? If the kids misbehave, just tell them, well, this is okay. This time you have done wrong, but next time you'll do better, okay? It will be the same for the adults. So may the Lord help us to refrain from being judgmental. Instead, we must speak encouraging words to uplift the others that are living around us. In fact, that is a theme throughout the Bible. It teaches to love and to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, we must commit ourselves to the church. Everyone, commit yourself to the church. So as God brought us together, by the Spirit together here, we must have a sense of belonging. We belong to this big family. We come together to learn His Word. We serve Him together. We grow together. And we share our joy and sorrow together. This is our spiritual family. This is a big family filled with God's love. Therefore, brothers and sisters, your commitment to the church is very, very important. In this way, we will be able to build this church according to God's will. And then we will be the lampstand, the golden lampstand for the Lord, that we can shine off His word. I see God is constantly living among us. Sometimes I imagine God's eternal plan is like a masterpiece of music. He places some in the higher pitch, while others in the lower tone. But no matter what position we are in, we will faithfully serve God. Listen to that. That's Handel's Messiah. So some got placed in the higher notes, but there are those that they put in the lower tones to make it a wonderful piece of music. And all this is done in order for us all to accomplish His mighty plan of salvation. Don't you know? We are all blessed. We are so blessed to have a part to play in His plans. You have a part to play. I have a plan to play. We all have a part in His plan of salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Today's theme is to serve the Lord wholeheartedly and to love one another. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the two most important commandments. Dear Lord, please use your life as an example to always remind us that we will truly and wholeheartedly love my Lord with all my heart. And according to the strength that you have blessed us with, that we may love one another. We render all honors unto you. And we pray and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.